And you'll see that we'll be looking at the book of John chapter 14, so you can start turning there if you'd like. And while you're doing that, I want to ask if Nancy and Nancy would come up at this time. We just want to make you aware of something that's going on in the church, a ministry that's there. And it's a great time. We've just sang about how important it is to cry out to God, to make sure that that's the number one thing in our lives, to be praying. And Nancy will talk to us for just a couple minutes, and then Nancy will talk to us for just a couple minutes, okay? Do you remember that show, Larry, Daryl, and Daryl? Newhart, I'm going back, okay? I get to be Larry, I guess, and you're Daryl, and you're the other Daryl, so.
Jim and Jim.
Yeah, we could do that. We could do that. But share with us just, take a couple minutes and share with us what's going on in
Newhart. All right. This Tuesday will be the Heal Our Land Prayer Ministries. Second or fourth anniversary, and we would love to invite all of you to come and have fellowship with us. The Heal Our Land Prayer Ministry is about praying for our nation, but now with a situation going on in the world, we're including the rest of the world. I just wanted to tell you that I have been doing a word study lately, and I love words. Not the oddest thing, words. I love words, and this one is on weight, and it's not W-E-I-G-H-T, it's W-A-I-T, weight. And the Hebrew word is kavah, and it means to wait. It comes from the Proverbs, wait on the Lord, and he shall save you. He shall be with you. And it means to bind together. There's a different levels of bind together of kavah, and this one is this first level is bind together, and that's what we do on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock in the chapel, and we'd love to invite you to come. But it also means to twist or to wrap around and to find your strength, like a vine that has no strength. It wraps itself around the big oak tree, and it finds its strength in that tree, and that's kavah, and it's waiting. And even though we don't have an answer right today, we wait. We wrap ourselves around the big oak tree, which is our God, and we wait. And until the answer, and while we do that, we pray. And in this meeting, we pray, and we read scripture, and we actually are still doing the Constitution. We're just finishing Article 7. And does anybody know how many articles are in the Constitution? Raise your hand if you do. Seven. There's seven articles in the Constitution. And then there's a bunch of 26 or seven amendments. And we're going to start with that. Yeah. Amendments and Bill of Rights. So we're going to go through that clause by clause. And we've been only doing that for 4 years. Okay. So please, we would love to have you come and join us, at least for our group.
Tuesday
at 4 o'clock, right? At the chapel.
Okay.
So, we also pray for the church, for the body of Christ in our nation, and across the world. There are so many persecuted Christians now in our nation, in our world. We just want God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven in our nation. We hope that the Christians in this nation are united together, serving God's purposes, and so we pray for that. We pray for Israel, for his nation. And we can see, and I know everyone else here too, can see God's purposes and plans coming together. We're close. We're close to the final kingdom, his kingdom, and he is not a respecter of nations. He doesn't care too much about kings and kingdoms and leaders, but he does care about his promises, and he has promised to be faithful to those who believe. And we as a group look at ourselves, I guess, as believers that are praying in unity, like Nancy described the vine. We are praying in unity for his purposes to be done. I'm going to read two scriptures from Revelation, and the first two chapters of Revelation talk about the churches. They were for then, but they're also for now, because God's word is living. And if you have a minute this next week, read those chapters and see where you are at personally, where you think our church is at. And God is calling us. He's calling us to revive and in him spiritually. So I'm just going to read those two verses from Revelation. I had it and then I got out of it. The first one is in chapter 2, verse 26. And this is his command to the church that he has just spoken to in Thyatira. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered, even as I also received authority from my Father. To the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And then in Revelation 3, starting in verse 19, I reprove and discipline those whom I love. Be earnest, therefore, and repent. Listen, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into you and eat with you and you with me. To the one who conquers, I will give a place with me on my throne, just as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Thank you. And if you can join them Tuesday, 4 o'clock. You know, it's important to pray for our nation. Amen? We got to pray for our leaders. And here's the other thing. You got to pray for the leaders, even the ones you don't like. Yeah. That's a little bit harder pill to swallow. But it's not about whether you like them or not. They've been appointed for that season and time. They're there for such a time as this. They need God's wisdom, and they need godly people to support them. So we continue to do that. Now, as we wrap up this series on a season of, we've talked about a lot of different seasons. We're going to end with a season of remembering. I want to talk to you about a season of remembering because it's in this week when we celebrate Thanksgiving. What we're actually doing is remembering the goodness of what's taken place even in our history. There is an outline if you want to follow along inside your bulletin. You'll see that we're going to look at John chapter 14. And there's a lot of things to remember. You know, last week we talked about a season of smallness. How many of you remembered to invite somebody and to use your invitations? Remember we had these invitations here and we just said, it's in the small things. We do the small part, God does the rest. We invite, we just walk up and say, hey, you know, if you'd like to join us for church, 8:30, 10:30, let me know if you're going to be there. Done. It's as simple as that. God does the rest. We plant the seed. But we've got to remember, now that we've planted the seed, in our own personal walk, we must remember. We've got a lot of things to remember and celebrate. Here's the challenge. How many of you find it easier to remember the bad things and harder to remember the good things? Isn't that true? I mean, I can remember, man, I remember when I messed up. I remember when I made that mistake. I remember when I said those unkind words. I remember when I did that wrong thing. It's harder to remember the good things. But we've got to work and strive towards that. Here's some interesting just kind of statistics. I was kind of looking back and just kind of remembering us as a church and where we've been and what we've been doing. Here we've, in the last 2 years, a year and just under 2 years, we've kind of reached out. Some of these numbers are a little bit of approximates, but in the last 2 years, we've water baptized 50 people. There's been over 75 decisions for Christ. I couldn't get an exact number on that one. Our missions giving just in 2014 alone was $61,000. If you take both those years and add them up, we're at $144,957 that you, Church of the Open Door, have given to the missions field. That's a big deal. You know, we got to remember these good things, these seeds that we're planting. There's three missions trips that have taken place. One of them just got back, you've heard. And for them, it's still probably 9 o'clock tonight in their bodies and in their minds. They're still adjusting. We've seen 17 life groups take place, 167 people get involved in those life groups. The Donut Squad, I couldn't really get a number out on this. I had to kind of guess. There's been at least six trips I know to the high school, and there's been an average of around 20 dozen donuts, I'm just going to say, because they would vary. You know, even if you do that, you're getting this insane number of 120 dozen donuts that are being handed out to kids. We've reached out to the teachers, and there's been over 400 that we've reached out to give them gifts. There's been 16 baby dedications. Think about this. This is what we call life. Sometimes we forget about all these good things. We celebrate the life that happens. We celebrate the reach we can have. And sometimes do you find yourself going, yeah, but we're still not doing this right. Or I seem to always mess this up. And you've got to be very careful because there's a line that you teeter-totter on between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation always says, "This is you're always doing it wrong. You're always screwing it up. You can never do it right." Where conviction says, yeah, you were wrong, but it's okay. We're going to try again. See, the Holy Spirit comes in. And the Bible talks about the Helper here in John chapter 14. I want to read this to you. It's John chapter 14, verse 25 and 26. He says this, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your" what? "Your remembrance," it says, "all that I have said to you." How are we going to remember this? Because he is sending a helper. We're going to go and we need to go through these seasons in our lives where we remember and start remembering the good things. When's the last time you sat down and you said, yeah, what's the last good thing I remember where I saw God move or I saw God speak into my heart and into my life and change my direction? Sometimes it maybe didn't feel the greatest, but when you know God's in the midst of it, you know it's all good. See, these are some tremendous numbers and statistics that we've just talked about. It's life that's happening. We need to remember the good as well as the bad. And these are just neat stories in life. One by one, we see God doing amazing things throughout our individual lives and in our communities and our church. You know, one part of the miracle is to tuck these away in our hearts and never forget those. Remembering is so important. You know, one of the things I remind myself of often is, do you remember the day you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you remember that day? That was quite a transforming day, wasn't it? Because it wasn't just like you woke up and said, I think I'll have grape soda instead of orange. It wasn't some trivial thing where you just made, you know, I think I'll have a chicken sandwich instead of a burger. No, this is the time when you made the decision to say, I don't know what I'm doing. And I can't go any further without the help of Jesus Christ. You don't forget those days. You remember those, but sometimes we forget to remember those. We forget that there came a point when we said, less of me and more of you. We've got to have those seasons of remembering and realizing those miracle moments. Never forget those miracles. Those times when God stepped in. Times when God brought something impossible to pass. You know, throughout the Old Testament, God told the Israelites to remember. Do you remember that? Did you catch that? Do you remember that? Okay. He always told them, he said, remember where you came from. Remember who you are. Remember how God moved in mighty ways. And don't forget. And what did they do? They forgot. They forgot how God moved them from one place to another. But God says, it's so important. And he's speaking that to us today because here's what happens. When we remember the good things that God does, it builds a confidence for the future that we can have. As a matter of fact, write down in your outline, number one, what God has already accomplished gives confidence for our future. I want to challenge you this morning to think back. What's the last thing that God's told you to do? Are you seeing God come through in a mighty way? He provided for you when you felt like you were heading for financial ruin. Maybe you don't feel like you're completely delivered from the place you want to be delivered from, but you know His presence is there. When you start remembering those good things that God does, it builds a confidence inside of you that will propel you into the future that God has for you. Are you here today and you feel maybe beaten up? You feel like maybe you're defeated. Maybe you feel like there's a heaviness that's on your heart and your life. You don't want it there. You're crying out and surrendering to God. Start remembering how God comes through, has your back, and watches out for you. It'll build the confidence you need to get through this season that you're going through. When you choose to remember. See, you got to remember the right stuff. What happens a lot of time is, you ever go to class reunions? And when you go to these reunions, sometimes you don't go to these class reunions because you remember. you remember high school and you don't want to go back there. Sometimes when you see those friends from the past, you don't remember the good things, you remember the stupid things. You know, I don't want to go back there because they're going to talk about this, they're going to talk about that. It's easy to focus on the negative. But it doesn't mean it was all bad, does it? It doesn't mean it was all horrible. No. You have to choose. You have to fish around sometimes for those good things and those memories. You know, so it is in our walk with Christ. God never promised that by becoming a Christian, you would be pain-free all your life, did he? You'll never face a difficult moment. Do you have a Bible that says that? Actually, mine says the opposite. It says, in this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have tough times, but be of good cheer. Because when you remember the goodness of God and what He does, then you'll make it through whatever it is you're facing. How? When you remember, it gives you confidence for your future. It builds an extraordinary faith within inside of you. And just as He did with the Israelites, God tells us that we need to recall what He's done for us in the past so we can face the unknown future that we're looking at right now. It's about a faith that gets built. It's a confidence, and that's a big deal. That's a great deal, because when we remember the things of God, it's not about the past. It becomes about the future. Do you know that sometimes we don't grow in our walk with Christ because we're more concerned with what took place back here rather than being concerned with the here and now and what God wants to do with our future? It can hold you back. And God wants us to remember the children of Israel did not get to enter, that first generation there did not get to enter the promised land. Why? Because they chose not to remember the goodness of God or obey Him, and therefore they wandered. Hey, you ever feel like you're wandering? Well, it doesn't mean that God's necessarily going to exclude you or leave you out forever, but He wants you to remember something. He wants you to remember what He said and what He's spoken to your life. You know, there's been a lot of mountains I've been marching around in my past. I can remember times when God spoke and said, do this. And I said, God, I heard you, but I didn't do what God told me to do because I liked the mountain I was marching around. So I kept marching around that mountain. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to give you an idea of what I'm talking about without telling you exactly what that situation was. I wanted what I wanted. Let's put it that way. And I knew God spoke, but I knew that God, I see what you're saying, but look at this. And you know what God does in those times? He says, you want to march around that mountain? March around that mountain. Go ahead. But I'm not marching with you. Why? Because I'm over here. And it took a few times. Finally, I got exhausted. Finally, I got worn out. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. He said, I already told you what to do. You see, you have those moments where you got to remember God is God and we are not. And when you obey Him and follow after Him, it builds a confidence for the future that you can have. Now, the next thing was true. When I realized I had exhausted doing it my way, you ever do that? Try to do it your way? The whole Frank Sinatra thing? We get this syndrome that says, I want to do it my way. But when you exhaust that, what happens is you're left to turn to God. And it's almost like going to God and confessing that He was right and you were wrong. And that's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? It's hard to do with each other. I definitely know that. We don't like to do that. You want to prove it? If you have a spouse here or a significant other, look at them right now and say, you're right and I'm wrong. You're going to go, I don't know if I want to do that. There's something that just doesn't want to do that. Why? Because we like what we like. But it's about surrendering to God. When we learn to surrender to God and say, God, I remember the goodness. I remember that You called me. I remember that You spoke to me. God is still there ready to answer that prayer. And He's going to lead us to the promised land. When we remember He's God and we're not. You know, sometimes people ask, we got to make sure that we remember the goodness of God. Sometimes people will ask me this. They'll say, okay, you transitioned into being the senior pastor. It's been 2 years. What's your goal for this church? And can I tell you this? There's plans that we have. There's goals that we have. But people will say, what's your strategy? What's your strategy for the next 10 years? And though I may have vision, and though I may have direction on where the Lord is leading, sometimes my strategy is simply this. You ready? Because it's not going to sound very spiritual. I don't know. You say, wait a minute, you're leading the church and you're saying, I don't know. What I'm saying is this. God gives you vision and He speaks to you, but sometimes you may not know exactly where it is that God is leading you. And I would like to venture this thought into your minds. If you know where God is leading in the next 10 years and you got it all mapped out for Him, I want to challenge you. Are you sure that that's God that you heard? Because sometimes we're good at putting God in a box, right? And we forget that maybe He sees things we don't see. And maybe there's things heading down the path. And if we're not flexible or fluid or willing to move where the Holy Spirit leads, then we're going to be hitting brick walls. There's going to be some brokenness and there's going to be some pain. So I'm not here saying that I don't care. I don't have any direction. I don't have any vision. No, I do. But I also know this. God sees everything. He sees it all. And so it is with your family. When you're walking and living out life and leading your family, you need to be fluid and you need to be flexible and you need to remember that God sees it all. He will give you what you need to go where it is that you need to go. So, you know, when I say, I don't know, you got to know this. I am following the one who does know. I'm following him for the future of what God wants to do. And when you do that, you will never miss out. You keep correcting back to his heart is what it is. Do you remember me talking about heart first, then head? I shared this very often. We need to make sure that we are being a people that are being led heart first, then head. Correcting back to the heart. In other words, sometimes we put God in a box, like I said, we try to figure it out, and we got some ministry plan or we got some idea, and we can think things out and plan things out in triplicate form really good. But if you don't have the heart of what God is doing, you miss it. You miss the bigger picture. God says, I want your heart. That's what he was talking about with the children of Israel. He kept telling them what to do, trying to correct them back because he wanted their heart to be in that same place. And what happens is sometimes we have a tendency to become maybe task-oriented. And at the beginning, we start, and when you start with heart, you're going to be okay. This church started in 8th Avenue South. How many of you remember the old church when it first started back in, when my dad came in 1970s, okay. If you've never seen the church and you want to see it, it's now the Seventh-day Adventist church. They bought it from us. It's over on 8th Avenue South. It's just a block up from Walgreens. And that's a place where there was a new beginning. And I was talking with my dad about it this week. And you know what we were doing? We were remembering is all we were doing. We were thinking back because I can stand here today and say, do you remember when we, because I was there. However, I was 1 year old. and granted, as I grew up, that I lived on the back of that church for 2 or 3 years. My bed was between the washer and the freezer. And that's where I slept until we eventually got a house that they moved into. And he and I were talking, and we started talking back about the church and where it was at and all that was going on. They didn't have equipment. Not much, at least. They didn't have the technology like we have today. They didn't have the space like you see here today. None of that was there. There was no worship team leading like there is today. That wasn't back then. There was none of that. But you know what they did have back then that they still have here today? It was heart. They had the heart of what God was doing and continuing to do. You see, that's what makes all the difference, and that's what God requires. However, sometimes after a while, the heart can be lost, and God will say, correct back to the heart. Correct back to the heart. You can have the heart of God and say, let's go develop these ministries and hand out donuts and give out free Christmas trees and hand out free cars, and we can get crazy ideas and drift away from the heart of God. And we'll go, whoa, let's correct back to the heart. Not that doing any of those things are wrong, but you always have to correct back to the heart. Otherwise, you're just jumping through a hoop, and you forget. You forget what it's all about. What we do because of the love of Jesus, not because we want to toot our own horn or say, look at us. We understand that we have to correct back to the heart. Keep correcting back to the heart as we grow in our relationship with Christ. We never want to forget that. And instead, we must remember all the wonderful things that God has done along the way. We must remember, our humble beginnings. We've developed many wonderful programs in this church. We've developed many wonderful ministries and missions, and many of these have touched the lives of others through loving God and obeying Him. But it wasn't the program, and it wasn't the strategy or the mission that touched people with the love of Jesus. It was the heart of love behind every service. You know, I look at a picture, and we did that video last week. Do you remember that? Oh, actually, you wouldn't remember this because we did it second service. So Mike referred to that video. Did you see that up there? What we did second service was, because we were talking about smallness, is how small things are most important. So we took a video and just went across. And you probably saw it on Facebook. So we could do one small thing to let them know we remember what they're doing. And we're praying God's blessings on them. See, remembering is so important. And they needed to be reminded that they're not just there on some trip. They're there doing God's work. The same is true here. You don't have to leave Clinton, Iowa to share the love of Jesus, do you? Now, how many of you have neighbors that live next to you? Yeah? We've got a mission field right there. You know, we were at a meeting one time, and the challenge was given to us. They said, write down, your house pictorially. Do you have neighbors? Yep, put their houses there. And then the guy said, now tell me their names. And I went, that's the neighbor to my left. To the right, Jim and somebody. And I wasn't very good at it. I couldn't name it all. And he said, you see, we've got a mission field right in our own neighborhoods. And so we were challenged to reach out to them. And it's been amazing to just see how when we remember about the love of God being something simple, It propels you to do what God calls you to do. I shared with you last week, we got hit with a skunk, right? Things are better now. Things are looking up. Things are still going, we're still working on them, but they're going pretty good. But my neighbor across the street heard that we got hit by a skunk. As a matter of fact, he's trapped four of them. And I guess they're just going nuts in our neighborhood. But he comes over, and I had a conversation with him. Started with the skunk, and we ended up talking about some other things. And then I saw his wife 30 minutes later. She drove by asking if I ordered all this snow. I said, no, I don't want any of this snow. But it opened a door to where we got talking. And last night, across the street, Mrs. Schrader, I got talking to her. But that's because we parked in her driveway because we were shoveling. And a conversation right there. There's people all around us, and what God wants to know is are we going to remember that we're not just placed where we're placed because it's a place to live? It's just not a neighborhood. It's a mission field. He says, remember the heart of God and what he wants to do and what he wants to accomplish, because when you remember that, you can accomplish great things. Remember David in the Bible? David was a small man, but he had a great faith, didn't he? I think of David. There was a shepherd boy, obviously named David. And I remember when in the Bible here, it says that the Israelites were at war with the Philistines, and Israel's armies, including their commander-in-chief, King Saul, were paralyzed with fear, right? They didn't want to go face this Goliath. But not David. He responded quite differently than the rest. You know why? Because he remembered something that they forgot. He remembered that when he was a shepherd boy, he was able to go and he was able to kill a bear and a lion that would come out and try to attack him. And he said, if I can handle that, I can handle this Goliath. He remembered something that propelled him to his future. The question is what are you facing right now that seems like a black shadow? It's a heaviness. God wants you to remember something, and that's this. No matter what Goliath you face in your life, God is greater than all of those Goliaths. But many times we forget and we let it limit us in what we can do. We settle for second best. And God says, remember, it's not about us, by the way, it's about him. And God is greater than any Goliath that you and I are going to face. Earlier, one of the Nancys said, God's not very concerned with kings and kingdoms. You know how true that is? Now, it's not that he doesn't desire that. We read in his word how he set that up. But what we're talking about is it's about his kingdom that comes and his will that's done, not ours. You see, that's what God's after. And so we see a King David. God's less concerned with the title king and more concerned with the condition of his heart. And so it is with you and me. God wants us to remember we're all children of God. And when we remember that and we remember the great things he's done, it'll propel us to our future. But sometimes we forget. We focus on the wrong things. That's why Paul has to tell us in Philippians. Now, I've skipped over 1 Samuel 17 and Psalm 77. You can go back and read those a little bit later. But Paul tells us what we are to focus on, okay? And it's in your outlines there, Philippians 4. Let's read it together if it comes up there. Philippians 4, it's in your outlines. Verse 8, ready? Go. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, and whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things and practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. See, the question this morning is what are you remembering? Maybe you're going through a relationship issue where it seems like the only thing you can remember is what the other person did wrong. How can I ever get over this? How can I release? How can I forgive? How can I move on? I tell you what, if you choose to remember God's grace that was extended to you, you'll start learning what it means to extend the same grace to the person you're in that relationship with. You know, because we're all sinners, and we all need the grace of God. But then he says, then focus on what's good. Focus on what's pure, what's right, what's lovely, what's of good repute. You see, this is a cool scripture because Paul is telling us to focus on Jesus in all of our situations and not necessarily on the situation. If we're to know God's peace, then our minds must dwell on the person of Jesus and remember all that he's done for you and for me. So how do we do that? Well, that first little bullet, write this down. We've got to build some godly traditions. We got to build some godly traditions. Do you remember what it was like? And when I say godly traditions, what I'm talking about is building within our lives moments to remember. I remember one of the things that we could never get away with as a kid was when it came dinner time, guess where we ate dinner? At the dinner table. But now it's like that's becoming less common. And I understand some of the reasons are because, and people have told me, well, we work swing shift. We don't always get to sit around the table. I get that. Well, you know, then we're taking some extra classes. I understand. I'm just saying that in our culture, in our society, we're spending less time around a table and more time in front of a TV. And we don't have those traditions there. But my mom would never let us get away with that. We had to, that was a real treat if I got to go sit in front of the TV and eat my dinner. It's something that we have in our home and in our family. We've told them we're going to eat around the dinner table. Oh, come on, we don't want to do that. And we're like, why? I said, you don't want to interact with me or what? No, I just want to watch TV. No, you're going to eat at the dinner table. You know, another thing that we do is we make sure to incorporate some traditions of prayer. I think prayer is important. How about you? We pray. We pray. We have to build in some of these traditions because then our kids learn. Do our kids always love it? No, but it's a seed that gets planted so that hopefully they will remember. Sometimes I have to do this, not because I'm so spiritual or because I'm a pastor and I have to. It's because I know I'll forget. If I don't build this tradition, if I don't make myself have this time with God, I'm going to forget and I'm going to start leaning towards my own strength and my own understanding instead of His. You see, we've got to have these in our hearts and our lives. Here's another one. Here's a good godly tradition. Go to church. Get your family and go to church. You know, it's something that we've got to do. Sometimes it's like, oh, Mom, do we have to go to church? When you do that, you are building godly traditions. Last week, 2 weeks ago, Veterans Day service, we weren't here, me and my family. Now, obviously, my wife was in Cambodia, so that's a good excuse. But we had the week off, and we were going to come. But then my kids said, oh, how about we just stay home? We can have a week off. And they thought that was going to be great. And I said, no, we're going to go to church. And I said, I tell you what we will do, though, is how about we go to a different church? Wouldn't that be weird? And they said, yeah, that would be kind of weird. So we did. We went to Moline Four Square Church, and we went there to check that church out and see what it was like. But we didn't compromise on not going to church. Why? Because it was a godly tradition we wanted to continue to build in their lives. They had some friends that came over and spent the night. Hey, can they spend the night? I said, sure, but let them know they're going to church in the morning. So I had a truck full of 5 teenagers heading to the Quad Cities to go to church, building godly traditions. Don't compromise on those things. Does it mean it's always great and it's always fun and it's always perfect? No, but God is. God's always perfect, and we're planting those seeds. We must do that. Keep those traditions and honor those principles in our heart. Why? Well, Joshua 4, verse 6 says, when your children ask later, saying, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them. Now, I put that in there because in Joshua, what happened was he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you that when you cross over, I want you to take those stones and I want you to build an altar so that your children see the altar. And when they see it, they're going to go, what's that? And you can tell them, this is an altar that was built in honor of God providing for us and taking care of us. You see, when they look at that, you are to remember what God did. You're to remember the goodness of God and how He came through. You know, many of these, have you been out in the fellowship hall back here and you saw the posters up on the wall? You know, why do we do that? I had some people say, why did we start doing that? Are we like a movie theater now or something? No, we're not like a movie theater. But I started putting them up because they serve somewhat as an altar. And when you see them, guess what you do? You remember. Now, I know this is true because my dad was, he was the biggest critic, my biggest critic, okay? As you can imagine, because he's my dad. And it's okay, it's all good. We have fun with it. But I remember when he looked there and he said, I don't know if I like that picture. He says, I can't even figure that out. That doesn't even make sense to me. And he was just being dad, you know. But what was hilarious to me, and I told him this later, is we had somebody here doing a repair, some subcontractor, and he came through, and he saw that picture, and he goes, what is that up there? And my dad jumped all over it. And he said, oh, that's a season that we're going through that had to deal with, or it's a series that we're going through, and it's about talking about the God that allures and about temptations that we face in life, and we've got to remember how good God is. And before I sat there, and I just sat at my door, and I grinned. You know why? Because though he may have said, I don't understand that picture, guess what? He remembered. And not only did he remember, but he used it as a moment that when somebody said, what's that? He could answer the question. You see, that's why we do some of these things around here, so we can remind ourselves what we need to be reminded of. God is good all the time, and at times when it seems like he isn't, he's still good. But we've got to remember. See, that served as an altar. Whenever God would do something great in the Bible, the people were to stop and they were to build an altar so that they would remember. And along with many traditions the Israelites kept, the Lord also commanded the people to wear tassels. Did you ever hear about this in the Old Testament? They were knotted pieces of fabric that hung from their clothing. What was the purpose of these tassels? These were daily reminders. As a matter of fact, that next bullet right down, these tassels, they were tassels that point people to God. They were to serve as reminders. Numbers 15 says, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make themselves tassels on the corner of their garment throughout their generation. It shall be for you to look at and remember." You're to look at it and remember all the commandments of the Lord. It served as a reminder. Again, God called Israel to remember. It was a physical, what's a tassel, or what could a tassel be in our life, of any physical reminder in your life that God is the Lord of your life. You see, we've got to have those things in our lives. How many of you in your home have maybe something hanging on the wall that has a Bible verse attached to it, or you have that scrape-on stuff you put on the wall, you know? What is it called? Uppercase living? I'm totally a guy right now. I'm like, those words you smear in the wall and that frustrate everybody and they get mad and, you know, the husband runs out of the house whenever they see that tube come in the mail. That stuff. And now you're tracking with me. All the guys are quietly going, amen. You have them in your house, be still and know that I am God, or, you know, whatever it may be. Why do you put those on the wall? Just to look pretty? Well, that's part of it. I'm sure that you all color coordinate it and match it and everything. But what are you putting it up there for? It's to serve as a reminder, isn't it? Sometimes you have to remind yourself. You know, right outside, there's a picture. I don't know if we can throw it up there, sound room people, but I took a picture of something we have in our hallway that has served as a reminder for me. It's called When He Prays. This picture, it's kind of dark, I'm sorry about that, but this is a reminder for me that points me back to God. It says, when he prays. It's right outside my son and my daughter's bedroom. It's been there for years. It's a dad leaning down, praying for their child, and it served as a reminder because, I'll tell you this, it's important to have because I got to be reminded that it's my responsibility to be praying for my children. Amen? It is our responsibility as parents to be Jesus to that child till the day when that child can make their own decisions. And it's also a reminder that when they do some dumb things that I don't kill them too, okay? You know, sometimes you got to be reminded. That's why we put it right outside the door. What is he thinking? I'll be going to the room and I'll see that picture and I'll be like, oh yeah. You know, so that saved his bacon a few times. It saved her bacon a few times. But it's there to remind us. It's kind of a tassel, if you will, that reminds you of the goodness of God, to remind you to keep his commandments. Here's a silly one, but not silly, but it is one. We have personalized plates on our car. You know what it says? For Machen. Number four, Machen, because there's four of us, so I'm sure you figured that out. But it kind of serves as a tassel. It's not pointing me necessarily towards God, but I'll tell you this, when I'm driving around in the traffic and somebody cuts me off, my first thought is not usually to extend my hand and greet blessings upon them in the name of Jesus. My hand is being extended, all right, but it's usually in fist format. Yeah. What are you doing? And I'm reminded real quick, this happened just 2 weeks ago, somebody pulled in front of me about caused an accident, and I thought, I should give them a piece of my mind, and it's almost like the Holy Spirit said, go ahead, but remember, your plates say for Machen. And I went, oh yeah. You know, sometimes we have to be reminded, people are watching us. And it's not about living out of fear because people watch you, but reminding you that God is constantly there. His goodness is there, even in those difficult moments. We want traditions in life, these tassels to serve as reminders. Our future generation, they're going to need to be reminded of God and all that he's done, right? They're going to need to be reminded of this. And God is not looking to be a grandfather, by the way. God is our father, and he's a good father. So we have another generation that is rising up and they need to be reminded of the goodness of God, and it's going to be our responsibility to remind them. Now we don't care and bear the full load of that, but we must do our part. Judges 2:10 says, there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done in Israel. You see, that's a second generation that was not reminded about all that God did. And so the worst thing happened, they forgot. They forgot God. They did not know him, and their new nation quickly fell apart. That's why it's so critical that we raise up a next generation well. We must make sure, and put this little bullet down there, to develop a first generation faith with God. We've got to remember this. It's most important. It is God's plan that each generation develop a personal relationship with Him. And we've got to remember this. You see, there's going to be another generation coming up after us that may not have gone through things like we've done in the last few years. They don't know all this stuff about the number of baby dedications and people that graduated to heaven. They may not care about that, how much we gave in missions. They may not be concerned about the people that we've reached out to. But we've got to remind them why we do what we do. It's not so we can feel good about us, it's so we can proclaim the love of God. We've got to have times where people understand going on a missions trip is not about taking, you're just going on a vacation. No, you're not. When you go on a missions trip, you're accomplishing and completing that calling that God has put on your life. But if we don't take time and share that with the next generation, you see, some of you have been on missions trips. And God will use you to work and say, son, daughter, you've got to go on this trip. You can handle it. You can do it because you'll experience God firsthand. Firsthand, not secondhand experience. You know, someone once confessed to me this. They said, I felt a risk, they said, when I got involved at Church of the Open Door. I started serving here and there, and it was nice. But, you know, God used that to develop my character and scrub my heart. When I ran into some problems, at first I thought, whoa, these are Christians, and they should be better than that. But I realized we're all human. And I remembered that because I thought, how true is that? The servant realized something in the midst of serving that many of us don't realize in a lifetime. We don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're humans. We forget. What an excellent life lesson that person was able to tuck into their hearts. And may we do the same. He continued to say, you know what? When we bumped heads, he bumped heads with somebody. He said, the forgiveness of God came and I learned something. I learned how to ask for forgiveness. I would never have learned that if I'd not gotten involved and started serving in a ministry. Now I remember what God did. He remembered. How did he remember? He remembered when he got involved, when he started doing something with what God had given us. You see, we've got to make sure that we understand, no matter what we're facing and going through, to remember well. The past mistakes, the things that we've gone through, they will just build momentum for our future, but we've got to be willing to embrace what God is bringing to us. But you know what they do is that not only are we to have confidence for the future, but we also must build up, here it is, a competence. When you put your faith in God, you will build a confidence, but you will also build a competence. When you put those two together, confidence from the past, competence in the present, you will have an extremely strong faith for the future. And that's so powerful. As a matter of fact, number 2, write it down. Combining yesterday's confidence with daily growing competence assures us of a great future. Many of us are looking for that, a great future. How do I get that? It's right there. You take the confidence and the competence and let God do His thing, and it will all come out good. Psalms 144 says, Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hand for war and my fingers for battle. In other words, God will train you for war when you can just jump in. He'll take care of that for you. David understood the need to train and gain competence, and that comes from just doing it, getting involved, jumping in. David also understood the need to move from being a consumer of God's grace to becoming a disciple of God's grace. And there's a big difference between that. See, in order for us to discover all that God has planned, we've got to do 3 things. You write these down, and then we're going to be done. If we're going to understand, we have to do this. Number 1, remember. Okay? Remember what God has done in the past that reveals His amazing character and power. Remember that. Remember the good, the bad, and the ugly, and remember how God has brought you through. That's where it starts. And when you start doing that, you'll remember how good God is. And then the second thing is train. Once you remember, you train. We can't be spectators. We must jump in and serve. We've got to serve God so that God can see, we can see more miracles and we can see more of His heart. And then finally, number 3, practice. So you remember, you train, and then you practice what you learn. Now, with this act of faith, where we remember, we train, and we practice what we believe, we discover a confidence that can face any Goliath that we're going to have in our lives. Then do you know what happens? One of the greatest scriptures, it becomes a promise. Here it is, Jeremiah 29:11. Let's read this one together. Ready? Go. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Isn't that a powerful verse? It's not just one that we quote, it's one that we can actually live and experience. And what we're doing today is remembering the past so that we can believe for the future. And what a powerful future that God has prepared for us. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray today that we would remember the most important thing, and that's your great love for us. Father God, there's many things in this world that we remember that we should let go of. There's a lot of things we should be remembering that we choose not to. We get it backwards, and Lord, that can be so draining. It can be so frustrating. It can be something that just takes from us. And Lord, we just want to ask simply today, we say today, Lord, we remember. Lord, we remember when we were in that misery, and we remember when we were lost and we didn't have a Savior. But by your grace, you saved us. And because of that, Lord, we say thank you. Maybe today you're going through a difficult situation, and you remember that God's good and he's a good God, but right now it's becoming kind of hard to remember that God can actually deliver you, but he can. And it's all because of his grace. Maybe you're here today, and you just need to see him move in a special way. If you're here today, I simply want to ask this. It's not hard to remember the bad, but it's time to choose to remember what's most important, a relationship with Jesus Christ. If that's you, and you need to see God move in a mighty way, just simply raise your hand that I might agree in prayer with you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to give you that opportunity. I agree with you. God sees your hand and your heart. Receive that today. It's easy to remember what you did that was wrong, but now choose and focus on the goodness that God is going to do. Is there any other hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. All right. Well, Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray today that as we leave here, Lord, we're ending a season, but may it be a beginning of a new season in our life of remembering your goodness and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand with me this morning? As you leave today, remember, God's a good God, and he does all things well. Amen? Remember that, because you're going to face times when it doesn't feel like it. But live by faith. God bless you. You're dismissed.